We're back, part two here of the Jimmy Doan Show. Here on
April 23rd.
Still April 23rd. Still Monday. As we record this. Now, this will be up probably, what, Wednesday, we hope?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Okay, good. Anyway, the next thing is the Pentagon invites the Kremlin to link the missile systems.
Ah.
That's
okay,
Skynet.
Is that working with you?
I was thinking, yeah.
I know I don't have Skynet.
You should have Skynet here, for God's sake.
No, that, I know what Skynet sounds like.
That's the, that is.
I know it's a Terminator.
It's Terminator 3, right?
Right.
Okay.
But it doesn't talk. He just acts.
Arnold should say something. Hi, we have to, no, he didn't.
It's not like the, no. The, what about the Whopper? The Whopper doesn't really talk.
We just did that.
But that's how.
We just did the Whopper.
No, that's how.
No, that's we did.
No, 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 that's
the Whopper. Get your sci-fi straight.
Damn.
Damn.
Oh,
I can't keep
you.
My computer. My,
God
my.
Damn it, I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it'd do any good.
So anyway, I love this, but Skynet, you know, was the one that destroyed the world in Terminator 3, whatever. Okay, so interestingly enough, the lot of Bush administration is offering Russia a new package of incentives to drop its strong opposition to American missile defense sites in Poland and the Czech Republic, including an invitation to begin linking some of the American and Russian anti-missile systems. But I thought this, and of course, interestingly enough, Boris Yeltsin died today.
Yeah, sorry, I would talk.
Now, why do you think he died? Had a heart attack. I mean, the fact is, somebody mentioned this to him,
yep.
And he said, "I'm coming. This is it. I'm dead. I'm dead now." Yeah, right. I'm not gonna. I did not spend my life running the Soviet Union or whatever the other. But I love this. This is all the defensive missiles. They're going to place them in radar in Poland and the Czech Republic. And of course, my question is, defend against who?
Aliens.
Against whom?
Well, and how are they going to operate our computers with all their tubes and stuff over there?
Well, I don't know.
When the button's over here, you'd be...
But I love this. The
we'll link them together. We get to launch yours.
Yeah.
Right.
And ours.
I love some of the quotes in here. To date, Russian officials have scoffed, mind you, scoffed at any suggestion that Moscow's objections to American missile defenses at bases in former Soviet states would be eased by offers of cooperation. American officials have sought to counter Russian rebukes by pointing out that limited missile defense system envisioned for Europe, 10 interceptors whose warheads are designed to collide with approaching missiles, do not even carry an explosive, is numerically no threat to Moscow's vast strategic rocket force. I'm thinking, you know what, this is, 21st century.
I mean, this is just salt talks or whatever.
But, I mean, of course, what they're worried is that Iran is going to launch something or North Korea or something like that. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, I mean, they'll do one.
Right.
Yeah, but that's all they get.
I mean, that's...
That's a few Patriot missile batteries.
Shot his whole wad.
No, but I'm...
exactly.
But I mean, exactly. When we dropped the A-bombs on Japan, I think that's all we had were two.
Right. Just about, yeah. We had like five more ready, or almost ready.
Almost ready, right. Wouldn't have been long, but I mean, yeah. The fact is we were done after two for a while anyway. But the thing that I love about this...
they didn't know that.
America, right, that was the whole point. American officials concede that part of the Russian motivation to block American missile defense is a fear that the United States, over time, might develop a bold new, quote, breakout technology that could someday neuter the Russian strategic arsenal. I mean, I think, well, so what? I mean,
well, like, that happens all the time. That's what military technology is all about. I mean, the whole idea is to
leapfrog the other guy. Exactly.
You know?
I mean, that's the other guy. Well, you know, they came up with the bows and arrows to beat the spears and the cannons to beat the walls and on and on. The concept of sharing I love this part. The concept of sharing anti-missile technology with the Russians is hardly new. In fact, even when President Ronald Reagan, much hated by the left, proposed his grand plan for a leak-proof missile shield under the so-called Star Wars program, he pledged that the new technology could be shared with the Kremlin, and this is before the fall, mind you, in order to assure Russia that it had nothing, of course, back then the Soviet Union, that it had nothing to fear from American defenses. But as I say, the point
is... give you this. It works perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other thing, right. As long as you put a GPS locator on your missile, we can get near it.
Right.
You know, pretty much. The thing that gets me about this is they're worried about Iran or something. And I mean, anybody else that launches one, it's going to be a parking lot. The country will be a parking lot.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's what I said before the original war. You know, everybody was implying, well, if he gets a bomb, he's going to use it. I was like, we're crawling up his butt now, and he's saying he doesn't even have one. I mean, if he came out and said he had one, it'd be over.
Yeah.
It'd be glass.
Exactly right. Well, good source, you know. Intel could take over and new things for the chips. So anyway, that was the Soviet or the Kremlin thing, whatever it is. That's all I had to say on that. Anything else? No,
gentlemen. Okay. I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it. And I don't know if you want to trust the safety of our country to some silicone diode.
That is just the best quote.
Whopper, baby.
I mean, that is just, that guy is so perfect in that.
Yeah.
Silicone diode. That's a great. Okay, continuing on to the next item, which, again, covers a lot of area. The headline is, in turnabout, infant deaths climb in South. Now, you had to see the picture that went with this article. Literally, they showed these ladies, mothers and grandmothers and so
forth. Yo mama,
that's right. And they talk in here about the reasons for the infant deaths, the mortality rate of infants climbing.
Now, when they say South, this is...
Mississippi.
It's
Mississippi, which I find interesting because
more kids, more infants are dying.
As you know, Mississippi is represented by Trent Lott, and Trent Lott has brought more pork in more ways than one to Mississippi. And you can tell by looking at these ladies because they are 300 and 400 pounds on welfare. And so I'm going to read you a couple of the articles. For decades, Mississippi and neighboring states with large black populations and expanses of enduring poverty have made steady progress in reducing infant death.
Are they large black populations or are the populations large?
Both.
Okay.
So anyway, the point is that the infant mortality rate has started to creep back up again to something like 14 per 1,000 or 10,000 or whatever the number. It doesn't really matter as far as I'm concerned. My point is that the setbacks have raised questions about the impact cuts. Of course, what everybody's hollering about is... Oh, it's because welfare cuts and Medicare cuts.
Why they're dying.
Starvation?
But then they say in here, it ain't starvation.
Look at the picture, baby.
If you look at this picture, it says many doctors say the growing epidemics of obesity.
I was just going to say.
Diabetes and hypertension among potential mothers, some of whom tip the scales at 300 to 400 pounds.
So what you're saying is we need to cut back on welfare in order to reduce the infant mortality rate some.
It sounds to me like mom's eating all the food, and they're just not feeding the kids.
And let me tell you, what you look at this, it says the overall jump in Mississippi meant that 65, this is again, we were talking earlier about statistics, meant that 65 more babies died in 2005 than the previous year for a total of 481. I'm thinking, well, okay, 65. I mean, don't get me wrong, any death is a problem and all, yada, yada, yada. So
Okay.
65. Okay. Look, 65. But I love this. The toll is visible in this one place. Jamaica Brown, 22 and 2 months pregnant with her third child and so forth and so on. And then they go on. I look at this stuff. Her son, who was born with deformities in 2002, died in her arms a few months later after surgery. I mean, who the hell paid for that? Daughter was stillborn next year. The main cause of infant death in poor southern regions included premature and low weight births. And I tell you, the mothers ain't low weight. I don't know why the kids are. And, linked to parental smoking, unsafe sleeping positions, and as well as, here's the big one, unknown causes. So, Dr. Marley said obesity and its complications are the main culprit. And apparently, I didn't realize this, but hypertension, diabetes, which can cause the fetus to be undernourished. But the social workers, of course, are screaming that we need more money. And I'm thinking, well, where's this money going? And the other big problem is low self-esteem. And they don't feel, obviously these girls are going out getting laid because they don't, they have low
400 pounds.
Well, I'm wondering who the guys are. I mean, you got to be.
Pretty desperate.
I mean, seriously.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, that's right. Poverty has climbed in Mississippi in recent years, and things are tougher in other ways for poor women with cuts in cash welfare and changes to the medical safety net. I mean, the reason there is because of the government handouts. How about get a job instead of having your fourth kid when you're 22?
It's Sir Mix-a-Lot, baby.
Well,
I like big butts and I hate lies. You motherfuckers can't deny. And when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung.
All right, well,
Jimmy, 65 hardly sounds like a statistic. I mean, that sounds like a bus went off the cliff.
Yeah, really, exactly.
It's a rounding error.
That's right. No, I mean, statistically, 65 is like zero.
Yeah.
Olita Fitzgerald, Southern Regional Director with the Children's Defense Fund, said, when you see drops in the welfare rolls, when you see drops in Medicaid and children's insurance, you see a recipe for disaster. Here's the part I like, and this is a lot to say to you. Somebody's not eating. They ain't the mother, I can tell you that. Somebody's not going to the doctor, and here's the part. Unborn children suffer. Now, where have you heard the phrase unborn children? I mean, the left always calls this a mass of undifferentiated cells or a fetus.
Mm-hmm.
Unborn children. I thought, man, whoa, hello, She's going to get fired.
Well, social workers can.
She's going to get fired for that.
You know where I've heard that before was in the, what was the California case. He killed his, went fishing, killed his wife.
You mean the,
Scott Peterson, right. He killed not only his wife, he killed their unborn child.
Yeah, he got convicted of that murder too.
Unborn child.
So it's interesting when it suits him, it's an unborn child, and when it doesn't, otherwise, as we talked about this, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court here in just a second, where they just ruled on they just had a new ruling, right?
With the
partial birth. That'll be next on the list. Let me just finish this up. I love this. Crystal Allen, a cousin of Jamaica Brown's, was 17 when she had her first baby. Now 21. Mother of two with a third on the way, and it turns out, if you read the article, it's her fourth pregnancy. I mean, Mrs. Allen lives in a sparsely furnished house in Hollandale with her...
Well, you can increase the infant mortality rate just by having more kids.
That's true, and they're apparently working on that.
Although, I guess if it was percentage, but it didn't sound like it was with the numbers there.
Well, I love this. Another, at the end of a paragraph here, they had the cut in some of the cash transfers, cash money from the government, and at the last sentence here is, a father sometimes helps with the money. What? A father sometimes? A father, right.
I'm guessing it's not the same father for all the children.
I'm guessing it didn't either, right. It turns out that the last third of this article talks about a private solution, and they're doing pretty well with this. They said the program, which is paid for with private money, buses nearly all pregnant blacks in Sharkey to small neighboring county and pre-postnatal classes. Anyway, it turns out that they're, for the last 15 years... they have beat the mortality rate, if you want to call it that, is to say lower mortality rate than any place else. These private, and they said, well, it doesn't really count because there's only, statistically it's a small sample. And I'm thinking,
it's
15 years small sample. Somebody's doing something right, but even the private people say, look, we've got problems, but we're doing what we can. And they said. Mrs. Williams visibly upset. Victoria, who says Victoria Jackson, 22, already has three small children and 5 months pregnant.
This just sounds like a puff piece for them to try to ask for some more money.
Yeah, no, it is. But I thought it was interesting that in the article, at the end of the article, because most people don't read that, they read the headline in the first paragraph. But if you happen to read to the end of the article, you find out, guess what? A private solution is solving, to a large extent, ameliorating this problem.
Do they say how the private solution works?
Yeah, they do. They say it's private money. And basically what they do is they give them prenatal care. They go out to the house, they get them in a bus, they drive them the 60 miles or whatever the hell it is to the doctor. They have they pay for the doctor.
And that's all voluntary charity?
All voluntary charity, right, whatever it is, all privately done, right.
Because they realize these people are too stupid to do it on their own.
That may be. Well,
you got to hold their hands.
Well, you say that, but of course, look, if you're poor, you don't have a car. How are you going to get there anyway?
It's tough, man.
No, it's tough. So whatever the reason is, it doesn't matter. The point of this that I see in this article is that if you figure that this is a problem, there's a private solution, and that's the only one that's working. And the other is a disaster across the board. So that's my answer to that. We were going to go into the
partial birth abortion ban.
That segues so nicely into the recent. It was just this week, right?
Yeah, scrotum called us on, or SCOTUS.
Yeah, scrotum. What did scrotum rule on?
Supreme Court of the United States.
That's they right. Upheld SCOTUS. This nationwide ban. On late-term abortions.
Nationwide ban.
Yeah.
Federal law.
Right.
Says you can't do the...
You can't
pull the baby half out and then crush his skull and...
Right.
Okay, now this is on federal. This
Doan.com.
That's right. Yeah.
No, can't pull his head, the baby's head out
no,
and
no,
then squish
feet,
him.
Feet first. Feet first. Oh, you have to make sure it's not completely born. You pull it out, up to about the
right
neck
there.
And then... No, well, that's JackRhodes.com. Complain to...
That's right. That's right.
JackRhodes@JimmyDoan.com.
Yeah, no, it's hard to believe that feds got involved in abortion.
I still don't even know what you guys are. Okay, what's the deal now? You pull the baby out and... I mean, what happens?
Partial birth abortion. What is the...
That's what they're saying.
What week is this considered?
Now, this is like third trimester. And... People, I guess there's a procedure. I'm not a doctor, so...
So seventh, eighth, ninth month of pregnancy.
Right. And there used to be a procedure, I guess, at least whereby you could
until last week.
Something's tragically wrong with the child. It's something, or could be harming the mother. Mother might not make it through childbirth.
Or you don't want the kid.
Or you just don't want it.
Right. Yeah, you waited a little longer.
Because you're 22 and you already have three other
ones. Exactly right. Exactly.
You've already eaten all the furniture, so you might as well not bring
it. I'm not sure I can afford this one.
That's right. And one of the dads hasn't made a payment in a few months.
That's right.
Okay, so partial.
None of the dads. That's the problem. If two or three of the dads would show up, we'd be okay. But, you know, none. I mean, and I guess at 400 pounds, you know why? I'll tell you that much.
I mean, so in other words, so they rule that this is what, you can't do it?
Yes, they said that the law is okay. The law is not to...
So now the that's a federal ban. There's no...
The law is okay
so
to
the
do
question
what?
Is...
To not allow the baby... What are they going to rule on it?
They have.
The so law the, said... You can't do it anymore.
The federal passed a law that said, look, if you walk into a hospital, I guess it's a... How about a private hospital? Or
none of them, any of them.
None of them. Okay, you walk into a hospital, you're 8.5 months pregnant, you say, I don't want this baby.
They say, too bad.
As of last Monday, they say too bad. But last Friday, well, a week ago, a week and a half ago,
it was fine.
Yeah.
Right.
But now, as of Monday, it's not fine anymore. You can't do that.
And so this is more of Bush and his buddies. I don't know who passed the law exactly, but... I gotta think it's the Republicans and that camp that are just trying to
with what they do, and this happened with Brown versus Board. They have a strategic way, Board of Education. They have a strategic way that maybe takes several years to overturn Roe v. Wade, which is in 73, which is the right to an abortion, if you want to call it that, federal right to an abortion. And because several states in the old days, you know, if you were in South Dakota and wanted an abortion, you had to go to Minnesota or whatever the hell it is. You know, you couldn't get one in that state. It was states. It was various states that had. And of course, the Fed stepped in and said, no, states can't do that.
Right.
So the idea has been to try and
whittle away.
And then finally, the feds will step in or the SCOTUS will step in and overturn it, you know, and reverse them.
Right. Well, everybody has said, and it's true, that the original ruling on abortion is sort of pulled out of the air. It is. If you look at it, it's like, where did she come up with this stuff? It was... The cool woman that was on there that was always considered the swim girl, was her name, Sandra Day O'Connor.
Right.
And she wrote that opinion. And
they really were surprised when he reversed her. They didn't think she was going to be on that.
Well, they never knew what she was going to do.
When they appointed her, they thought they
tough pioneer woman.
Yeah, right. But they thought that she was going to be a art conservative type person.
She did what she wanted to do.
That's for sure, boy.
Hey,
now that I'm here, guess what? this is called coin flipping time.
Well, yeah, and she was all over the place. And this was one of the more spurious rulings just because of the...
She was having her period that day or something.
Well, it's not that. I like the concept of it all. It's just the way that she came up with the arbitrary time limit.
You have a judge like that down there. What's her name?
And so
not.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Angie.
Not allowed to mention judge name.
I like the ruling, but except that it's just so arbitrary that it makes it attackable.
Right.
And so they're going to try to attack it. They're going to whittle away at it. And they may get somewhere eventually.
Well, I was reading a lot, just to diverse. Digress. That's what I meant. Slightly.
Where did they get the authority to outlaw abortion? I mean, is that an interstate commerce thing? I think they did it on that ground.
No, they did it on privacy, didn't they?
A power grant is what they need in order to enact the law. The feds do, and there's not very many of them. And the one that really applies. Mostly to the states is the interstate commerce.
Right.
So they have to justify everything on that.
See, they got the post
office. I think they did it on interstate commerce because originally,
you could sell unborn fetuses.
Well, people were cruising across states.
Right.
So they thought, well, this doesn't affect interstate commerce because people are going from state to state to get this procedure.
Got it. Because it wasn't the Army, the Navy, which they can do. They can do the post office.
Right.
It wasn't the post office, right?
No.
Okay. So it probably wasn't.
You can't mail your unborn fetus anywhere.
That's right.
Right. Or stem cells. They're selling their stem cells.
Interstate commerce. Even if you keep it inside the state. That's it. No, sorry. Okay.
Did you see the South Park run with stem cells?
No.
Oh, God, that was
which
classic.
One, what,
or Christopher Reeve when he's cracking the fetus heads open and sucking the stem cells out.
He gets all this
power. Yeah, you got to cheat that one.
It sounds a little sacrilegious or something. It sounds like a little
twisted. It could be offensive.
Could, that's what I meant to say. To some.
Honey, crackin' honey.
So
it was highly offensive.
I would guess. Let's hope.
Well,
that's why we love South Park.
We've played some offensive South Park things.
Yes. And we will continue to do so.
And yep. We will.
So the next item. Are we done with that?
Oh, yeah.
Scrotum?
Scrotum? Scrotum and SCOTUS?
Yeah, yeah, we're done.
Okay, the next item that I have on the list is has to do, again, with the feds. This was an editorial in the People's Communist Newspaper of New York, otherwise known as the New York Times. The Daily Worker.
Exactly. Fucking confident.
God. The Medicare privatization scam, and of course they're railing, and at first glance when I saw this, I thought, gosh, this is interesting because the New York Times might be for some privacy. No, big mistake. What they're saying is that since the government subsidizes, apparently they do this, subsidize some of the HMOs, some way, shape, or form. I'm not sure how they do it. But but I love this. The private plans use some of the money, the subsidy money that they call. Apparently they get about 10% subsidy some way, shape, or form. I'm not sure how. By reducing premiums or adding benefits not covered by basic Medicare. I don't know if you know this, but basic. Jimmy, of course, is getting voluminous amounts of mail suddenly as he approaches the magic age where he's going to be qualify for Medicare. And, of course, every HMO organization, Blue Cross Blue Shield, all of them have written me letters saying, oh, you know, Medicare doesn't do poop for you, pal. We will show you how to fill the gap and we'll take care of you. So anyway, those are the guys that this is after. And apparently they make this horrible thing. They siphon off the rest of the money to add to profits and help cover the plan's high administrative costs. But I love this. The largest private enrollment in health maintenance organizations, which typically deliver care a bit more cheaply than standard Medicare and should not need their 10% subsidies on average to compete. But I love this, that they talk about stopping these subsidies, whatever they call it. And again, it's $54 billion sounds like a lot of money. When the Democrats first won control of the Congress, it seemed possible that they might eliminate these subsidies, saving some $54 billion over 5 years. Now, newsflash, that's $10 billion a year. Again, not a rounding error.
Right.
Not even rising to the level of a rounding error. And this made an error. And the New York Times is all over this. Okay, in this case, let's do away with any privatization because Medicare is so nice and efficient and they do such a great job. And I love this. Of course, the last line, the last sentence, as always, the last paragraph. Let me just read this because it dings all Jimmy's bells at the same time. Congress ought to eliminate the subsidies completely unless it is willing to subsidize the same benefits at enormous cost for the far greater number of people enrolled in standard Medicare. It's time to ding, level the playing field, and force private plans to really compete with traditional Medicare. I mean, thank you. I mean, you, first of all, you can't compete with free, with perceived free.
Right.
You know, that's why you don't have so many private. That's why only 10% of the schooling, K through 12, is private. Is because how do you compete? It's called crowding out. It's a very Econ 101, page 22. It's called crowding out. Mm-hmm. And when the government provides you with a service, which they take the money in little tiny pieces from everybody, and then they dump it into something that, like the government school system or Medicare, for instance. I mean, how do you compete with something like that? So the level playing field would be for them to get completely out of it. That's how you level the playing field. But I love this. They want to force private plans. Private plans, they don't need any force to compete. And it's interesting that there are any private plans at all. With the fact that Medicare, except that it's so shabby and so bad, witness Walter Reed, which is a little piece of, we talked about this, the vets that are getting the most incredible rat-infested, cockroach-ridden, paper-peeling-off-the-wall care, if you want to call it that, care is in quotes, and that's what you're going to run up with Medicare. And what the New York Times, thank you so much, socialist newspaper, commie newspaper, wants to do is to eliminate the one place you can get some decent medical care. Thank you so much. New York Times.
Hey, I got to correct myself here. I just realized I was thinking about it. O'Connor was appointed by Reagan,
right?
And this decision was pre him. This Roe v. Wade was the 70s.
Ah,
and I don't know where I was getting that confusion.
No, you're right.
Blackmun was the one who wrote that opinion.
Okay. Okay.
So just a minor correction, a little fact checking there, Bob.
A little fact checking. Yep. we have managed to divert the letter from Bob.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's right.
He's backing off the email.
Delete. He was at the keyboard. Ready.
Hopefully it didn't hit
the same. The flames were leaping out of the keyboard now. Oh, damn. Daggummit. Sorry, Bob. We nabbed ourselves. And this, by the way, is in. We didn't even actually stop the tape here to go look it up.
Hey, how about that?
We didn't on the fly.
We are so good. I can't stand it. Okay. So shall we talk about some more? There's some more New York stuff, and then we can get on the light notes.
Yeah, let's do that health inspector, man.
Oh, this I love. This I love. This is so
restaurants.
In New York, a health inspector shows up at probably one of the 10 most famous restaurants in the world, or certainly in New York City, and closes the son of a bitch down.
Yeah. I don't know how the hell this guy got the authority to do that.
They have the authority. They have the guns.
It's because of the licensing and the regulation.
And the fact is that if you say no, the sheriff or the police will...
That's right.
Well, they...
wait a minute.
Did you want to say yes?
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, bow and scrape. Can I kiss your feet?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I kiss your ring, at least? Whatever.
Yeah, it boggles my mind that we've got to the point in this country where the licensing is so ubiquitous that you need a license to do anything. And if you don't have it, they can come get you and they can shut your place down. And then, therefore, it trickles down to this lone guy having the power.
And it's
a taking without due process. He walks in there, he shuts you down.
Did we get his name or no?
All the business you lose for that amount of time.
Let's announce his name. Idiot of the
Week. Wait a minute.
Idiot of the Week.
I'm afraid. Nope. Go ahead.
I tell you what, though. He's the health inspector Gestapo. But, you know, did you look? He's not only the name of his organization is the health and mental hygiene office.
Yeah, Department of Health and Mental Hygiene.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I mean, if he
clean your mind.
Right.
Well, it's called brainwashing.
Well,
hello.
My thought is, what if he walks in and decides that the atmosphere is not conducive to your mental health?
Right.
He shuts you down.
Yeah.
I don't like this place. It's too dark.
Yeah.
I mean, they could do it.
The girls aren't showing enough tit.
Yeah. They need a little more lights on the boobies.
That's right.
I'm amazed that we've got to this point.
Well, it says here, 6.5 hours later, the inspector finished his evaluation and shut the place down. And they had, and this guy Rachaud, I guess, is Jean-Jacques Rachaud. Oh, Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
Jean-Jacques
Rousseau, the restaurant's owner and chef at the stove. But what happened was the guy shows up right before lunchtime, which of course is very busy. And of course the guy is like super busy and he wanted to inspect the restaurant. He went to spend 6.5 hours there. The city health department has closed 297 restaurants since the week ending February 24th. And of course that was started by the big hoorah, the big video that somebody took of rats running around in a Taco Bell.
Right.
So rather than go around and inspect all the Taco Bells, they go to this guy here, one of the 10 most famous things. Of course the chef is one of these high-wired, super weirdo. I mean, you know, let's face it, this guy is...
Sardis or something.
You have to understand that
these people are unipolar in that they only have one thing in their entire life. These people are not well-balanced.
Yeah, our chef is just like that. EJ.
Yeah. That's right. No,
like
that's
sleeps on a sculpture or something.
No, that's right. No. I mean, when it comes to chocolate, EJ is like, no, if it was, and we talk about one track, I mean, there's not another track for 100 miles with an EJ. We're talking about lone track through the desert as far as
we love you, EJ.
That's right. We do love you. So anyway, the
chocolate.
That's right. The brasserie's code violations were fairly routine, and the details of this closing reveal a very human clash of agendas and sensibilities. Well, obviously what happened was, the guy was the inspector was insulté. You know, he was dissed.
Yeah. Dog food.
So you know, he said, okay, you know, I don't get no respect. Hey, bro, I'm shutting you down. Yeah. I mean, because
it boggles my mind that they can do that without any kind of hearing, any kind of trial, any kind of oversight, no warrant, nothing. Man, he just walks in and shuts you down.
Well, across the regulatory divide from the chef, who's like 80 years old or something. Here's this guy, Lakbashan Suku, or whatever the hell's name. I can't even pronounce it. A civil
Jimmy,
servant,
you speak
not
French. Why are you hacking up? Why are you butchering these names?
Because this is not French.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This guy's from Tibet or something.
Okay.
A civil servant, not much more than half Rachaud's age, under orders to leave no bain-marie unturned as he and his colleagues set about to systematically scrutinize every commercial kitchen downtown. New York City, we're talking about, you know, 10,000, I don't know, 20,000 restaurants or something like that. So anyway, basically closed the guy down and he fixed it all. The Rachaud who said, he fixed all the stuff, got and passed the new test, but he still hadn't opened up because he's distraught. I mean, he's just the kind of guy he is. He says it can be a deadly experience, and you can't let your emotions run away with you. But I like this. Again, the final sentence that I have here in this article. I guess it was a general manager of Michael's, so forth, down the media crowd hangout a few doors. Another guy who might have gotten shut down, not a civil service, said, "It's like a cop giving you a speeding ticket
For $20,000.
Well, yeah, not only that. Well, no, it's more than $20,000. It's when you close down, it's your whole life. I mean, what we're talking about here is they're taking away your job. Speeding ticket. I don't care how much the speeding ticket is. You don't lose your job. You can still go to work. Right. But this, it is not like a speeding ticket.
It's like taking you to jail for getting a speeding ticket.
And no hearing for 30 days. Right. You know, we'll see the judge in 30 days. Yeah, I mean, there's almost a petulance to the inspectors. You really need to shut up and be servile. Now, doesn't that say, that's what the guy says.
Yeah.
That's what you want. I mean, that does that tell you, here's a guy, here's a chef, famous, world famous, top 10, whatever it is. You know, obviously, weird.
Your menu is not in order.
And the atmosphere is lacking a lot of things.
This, I mean, this tells you, and then they call it a crackdown period. They said, and what I thought was interesting.
Crackpot period.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's an associate commissioner says, well, our inspectors are not exactly welcomed at these restaurants with open arms. You think?
Play the guns.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and here's the other thing.
He almost closed it down, by the way, they had served the food, but not collected the money, and they were to close it right in the middle of a meal. But Mr. Russo, after pleading, he was allowed to finish serving customers who were already seated.
Jesus. Well, and to segue right over, Mothra has paralyzed the California agriculture situation.
Now, this is some kind of moth. Is it an invasive species moth?
That's right. Infestation.
An infestation of how? There's millions of them, right? They're covering the sky. Black. The sky is.
They've caught wood. Wait a second. It's not quite millions, but it's close.
No, you're telling me the sky is black.
Black.
With moths, right?
Black with 170 of them.
Oh, 170. These are large, very large moths. No wonder they're scared of them. These moths have 87-foot wingspans or what? I mean, they're
huge.
No, they're hard to see, I think. No, I don't know. I don't know what their size is, but 170 moths is what they've caught. Okay. And they have basically
closed down five counties or something?
Yeah. And the moths eat.
Well, where's this moth from? Was this some Cuban moth or what?
Australian moth.
Australian moth, oh, okay.
You know, he's from Australia.
Good day, mate.
Nice.
Good day.
Look, the crocodile hunter would not mess with this moth.
It's craziest moth.
It's a crikey moth.
Crikey, yes. Look at the moths here.
All right, so what does it eat? It eats what?
It eats, like, everything green.
Oh, well, that's no problem.
Money.
Let's just get rid of everything green.
Not my money.
You know, what I want to know is, can they still sell pot?
Well, after it doesn't stay green too long. That's the nice thing about it. You dry it out, boy. I tell you, it turns nice, that nice crispy, you know, that brown with the ooze going through it. That's sweet. Let a moth have some of that and see what happens.
We at this table don't know what you're talking about, Elmer.
But we would still like to see the moth eat it.
That's right.
Or at least see it.
Right, at least see it.
You know, here's what I want to know is how many people were involved in the decision to paralyze the California agriculture market, which is worth billions and billions of dollars.
Understand? I was seeing someone say, do you understand that I think over half of the fruits and vegetables consumed in the United States come from California?
That doesn't surprise me.
No, over half. It's amazing. You know, the San Joaquin Valley, all that is unbelievable. I mean, here we are in Florida. Of course, we produce citrus and some stuff, but nothing like California.
So here we are, and we're at the point now of where these guys have so much power.
One guy with a badge.
Yep.
Man.
And he does need a stinking badge.
Yeah,
that's right.
And he's going to.
That's all he needs.
The quarantine restricts the movement of more than 250 host plant species, in 182 square mile region. I mean, that's huge.
250.
No, 182 square miles actually is not that large. When you come,
well, actually, it's not.
That's about the size of this county.
12 miles by, 15 miles by.
Yeah, that's actually smaller than this county. So that's actually from.
All right, so it's not all California. Thanks, Bob. Hey, but no, it will be. Okay, trust me.
Along that line, though, we have here in Alachua County in Florida. I mean, with the appearance of a fruit fly, a single fruit fly, or a pine bark beetle. They will close down this county. You cannot believe. They will spray everything inside.
They'll thin your forest.
Oh, no question. I mean, they really will. The pine bark beetles, they're both about the same. But the fruit flies, of course, but they find one in a trap. Whew. And of course, they're kind of like roaches. I mean, the simple fact is you can't have one. I mean, you know, where'd it come from, kind of. No, that's what they're thinking about the moths, of course. If you caught 170, that means there's
170,000 or something.
Well, you know, or 170 million, I don't know.
Right. That's how we used to judge our listeners on the old show.
That's right. We did.
If we got one call, we figured, all right,
we multiplied everything by 1,000.
That's
right. Our listenership, when we got two calls, we told them we had 2,000 listeners.
Oh, skyrocketing.
Oh, skyrocketing. We added 1,000 listeners today, just like that.
Well,
the beauty is when we went from no calls to one call.
Right. That's an infinite amount.
That's infinite. We had an infinite increase in our listeners, and we added 1,000 listeners. Right. Today.
Yeah, that's great.
That's why we stayed on as long as we did, I think.
That's right.
Well, are you guys still talking about the moth?
No, we're moving on.
Well, there is one little thing that I came up with that, you know, have you guys heard about the bee situation?
I saw something that the bees are going away.
They're going away.
Where have all the bees gone?
Yeah, they basically fly away from the colony collapse disorder, CCD.
You know, my 96-year-old great aunt is who emailed me this about the bees.
Really?
She was worried. The bees are going away.
Well, you know, it is a very big deal. I don't know what it is, but it's a big deal.
It's a big deal when you're 96.
Nothing's
a big deal when you're 96.
I'm sorry. Well, either that.
It's the big deal is because bees are responsible for pollinating all the plants.
It's a phenomenal percentage, too.
We've got to be pollinating the plants.
No, I mean, hauling the business, bees around the country to pollinate the citrus and those things. I mean, it's a huge business.
All right, I do the bees.
I don't know what the number is, but we wouldn't have like tons of stuff that we get that's cheap without those bees.
Right.
No, and I mean it's an absolute.
Come on, bag bees.
Come on,
we like you.
Anyway, the deal is
think about it, too. The whole hive is like is dependent on one lady.
One bit. I mean, I can't say that word anymore.
I don't know, but
nappy headed.
But bee queen. But anyway, the thing is that they've kind of figured out that there was one interesting thing that actually they, of course, hadn't been proven yet. But apparently, they were thinking that the cells, big use of cell phones is having an impact on their navigation.
Because they're giving them brain cancer.
Well, actually, the thing is that they've said that if you put a live cell phone next to a hive, none of the bees will come back.
Really?
Man, yeah.
I'd snope that. Number one. Number
it's
two.
It's not a snope thing. This came off the freaking off my news thing. This wasn't like
This wasn't off odd.
Well, man, yeah, it probably was odd.
Okay, let me tell you. So it turns out that this cell phone was put there by some lady who had some kind of perfume.
No. They're just saying that just mass uses of cell phones might have been.
Okay, so they put a cell phone next to the hive.
Or it could be related in some way.
Put a 14-year-old girl on it.
Okay, I'm getting shut down here. Okay,
No. Anyway. If that's the case, then we're fucked. we're screwed anyway because of global warming. I'm saying it's because of global warming, not cell phone.
I'm surprised Al Gore didn't mention that.
The bees went north.
That's right.
Because it's too damn warm.
That's right.
It could have been. We'll find out eventually.
Here's the bottom line.
You know, as we're laying there, you know, death with our tongue hanging out by the side of the road, dying when somebody says it's the bees.
The bottom line is I want to see some science before they're shutting down five counties worth of stuff. I want to see some science before they're telling me that all the plants are going to die. And you could say this about the bees or whatever, but like you said, Jimmy, they got people who take the bees around. Those bees aren't gone. The ones that are commercially available.
Yeah, Noel, you'd be surprised. I actually have read something that says that they can make
more bees.
Maybe the bee handlers are mistreating them.
I doubt
and they're
that.
Just taking off.
No, it's worldwide.
They've had a bee. It's been going on for 10 or 15 years now, I believe. Now, let me tell you something.
Somewhere.
There's nobody that wants to make sure that their bees stay healthy than the beekeepers, because that's how they get their money. That's the private.
Or the government.
Well, no, yeah, right. No, I don't. That government would DDT him right off the bat.
Bees,
and they'd treat him like FEMA trailers, you know, just let him rot. They would, you know,
maybe the bees are down in the FEMA trailers. See, no one else is.
I mean, they're like a lot of people are losing. Like, they're losing upwards of 60-70% of their hives.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Yeah,
that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could hurt. Well, we'll find out when we're starving to death.
And that's what they say.
Okay. Well, the one nice Jimmy has a victory garden out here, so you're not too worried.
Well, you've also got you can also do hydroponics and pollinate them yourself. You know, out there and have a little flower.
Pollinate them.
I don't know. That's what they had flower girls for in the 60s, right? To pollinate the flowers?
I saw somebody.
I see where this is going.
Oh, speaking of that, but
I see where this is going.
Yeah, it's downhill from here, folks.
Downhill fast. That's exactly right. Yeah, baby.
Well, of course, that brings up the other thing, and that is the scientist in Australia that says that global, when we're talking about global warming, that he says the cremation is the only solution anymore. Cremation of what? Well, he says the cremation is contributing, is causing global warming.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
And he says you need to be buried in a cardboard box under a tree from now on.
That was a good one. I haven't heard that crowd.
I got that sent in from a listener.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
When you say, you mean the listener?
Well, right.
Got sent in from the listener?
No, it wasn't Bob. It was somebody else.
So we have two.
Yeah.
We just increased our listenership by 1,000.
It was John. But yeah, it was great. So I wanted to play that.
Okay. All right, good.
I'm done with that. That was stupid.
All right. What else we got?
I'm pretty much done except for...
Yeah, we got some light notes, don't
we? We got a couple other things here.
We talked about McCain, right?
Well, I say something about McCain. Did you guys see him?
Oh!
They asked him about...
Well, that's old, though. The bomb, right?
He was saying that.
Well, the fact is they got it on video, and Google took it off.
All right, tell us about this.
Okay, what happened was one of the big...
John McCain
got on it, and it's, you know, the old Arizona? 50 song, Bob, Bob, you know, for the...
Yeah. Who is Bob, it? Bob,
Brand.
It's the Beach Boys or Shana or somebody.
It's the Beach Boys, and it's Barbara Ann.
Right.
Barbara Ann, the people ripped it off and made Bomb Iran.
Bomb Iran.
That was during the hostage...
So they asked him something about Iran, and he starts singing the song, and he sings it as bomb Iran.
Right.
Well, they caught on video, and of course, needless to say, it showed up on YouTube in a nanosecond.
That, right.
And Google and YouTube, I guess, or it was on Google Video, I guess, and Google pulled it.
Yeah.
And well, then everybody said, "Whoa, wait a minute, what are you pulling this for?" I mean, this was public.
Right.
Public thing,
he's a presidential candidate.
They put it back. Apparently, it wasn't down that long, but I mean, it's amazing in this day and age when you think about what used to get out or in newspapers and how it was in and how it was, even today in the Gainesville Sun, when you read a retraction, it'll say on page 23, we said no when we should have said yes.
Right.
Correction done.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, whoa.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Right. Yeah. Like I
saved that paper.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So the beauty of this is here, the video was taken down. And I don't know, but maybe an hour or two or something, it was put back up again because everybody said, whoa, you can't do that. And they couldn't, market spoke. I love it. So the question, that's the other thing is, McCain is going to announce that he's running for president as if we don't know. And of course, McCain basically is a rhino, Republican in name only as far as I'm concerned. And he's a statist. He's a very strong statist. He thinks the government can cure it all. And one of his...
Yeah, sure cured his stay in Vietnam.
Well, I feel sorry for the guy. 6 years, whatever it is. I mean, that's bad news all around. I don't want to really go
government.
There. But what I love about this, saying America must be weaned from its reliance on foreign oil, Senator John McCain of Arizona is renewing his call for a cap on emissions of greenhouse gases as a way to fight global warming. And I'm thinking, this is obviously political. And one of the things that I do find interesting... There's also a big deal up there about removing a bunch of dams. The Klamath River, they want to remove some dams that generate some hydroelectric power for 70,000 people.
Those dams.
Well, the environmentalists are saying, look, you've killed the salmon off because of this thing, and the hydroelectric power is clean, so you're going to have to replace it with coal burners. And my thing is, what happened to nuclear power? I'm confused because
it's nuclear, Jimmy.
Yeah, and that's the way to go.
That's the thing that gets me is that everybody seems to think that immediately that if you put up a nuclear power plant, it's going to be worse than Chernobyl from the day one.
I'm thinking,
have we learned anything in the last 50 years? They think this nuclear power plant is going to be made out of wood or something. And they're not. They're,
mm-hmm.
They probably got a better handle on how to make one these days. I mean, they make every ship in the world just about as nuclear anymore. They're blowing up all over the place. It's just mind-boggling.
Right.
It's just all over the place. Just mushroom clouds covered.
Yep.
Mushroom
mm-hmm.
clouds. And I think that you could build a nuclear power plant up there, Klamath. And I think that as far as capping the emissions is concerned, you could build them all you want. Hey, France, I'm no hero of France except for their food. But I can tell you that they, 80% of their power is nuclear, and you know, I'm not, more people died at Chappaquiddick than okay, as we say, you know. Okay.
More people died at Virginia Tech than
that's right, yeah,
France.
That's oh, thank you for oh, that. Okay, squish.
You napping head,
you napping boy, you.
Right. Reverend Al is on the phone.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Anything else? I'm done. I'm done with except the possibly the another thing in New York, and that's the. Yeah, why co-ops explain why you can't buy.
Yeah, we've beat up New York.
Did you want to do Social Security database number?
Well, that's just again, we talked about this last week. We said that the government is the biggest
it's losing
loser.
Numbers like I give mine out like candy.
But I love this. They're all panic-stricken because U.S. database exposed Social Security numbers is what happened here. Officials of the department at the Census Bureau, which maintains a database where personal information was used, were evidently unaware that it contained, this is the agriculture department, apparently some kind of place where you go and get money, unaware that it contains...
I don't go there to get money.
I know. The problem was reported to the government last week by a farmer in Illinois who stumbled across the data on the internet. I love this. I was bored and I typed my name of the farm into Google to see what was it, and boom, up go 30,000 Social Security numbers. So he reported, and they said, okay, well, we didn't know about it. We were stunned. We took care of it. But the privacy advocates, however, say, as you well know, as anybody knows from the emails, just because you fix that database, newsflash, that information is thousands. It's all over the world. I mean, you don't. It's like as my grandmother.
It doesn't go collect the information. And
no,
bring it back.
It's as my grandmother used to say. You go up to the top of the we got in Washington D.C. and go up to the top of the Washington Monument and open up a feather pillow and then try and collect all the feathers. Good luck.
I got a letter the other day from my hospital that says all of my information was stolen. They're on my credit card and my
really?
Social Security. Yep.
Oh, my God. Federal agencies are under strict obligations to limit the use of Social Security numbers as an identifier. And I love this. This disclosure of Social Security numbers is latest in a string of data breaches at federal agencies in the past few years. Last year, hackers accessed an Ag Department database, Department of Energy, the Navy, Department of Veterans Affairs, Social Security Administration, and IRS also suffered data breaches last year where personal information. So, I mean, these guys, it's
safe. You're safe.
Yeah, you're safe, right. The government will protect you, not. Unbelievable.
I know Eric's got some good light notes, don't you?
Yeah, we're ready to move on to light notes here.
I got a couple.
All right. We don't play Crazy Frog anymore. That was like one show.
We'll find a new one, you know, Crazy Toad or something.
Crazy Toad.
It was David that sent in the my new global warming clip.
Okay,
so maybe he'll send in some light note music.
All right. David Spellman?
No, David.
Ooh. Zing.
Delete.
It's all right. Did you see the donkey becomes a witness in the Dallas dispute thing?
What?
No.
I don't even want to know about this. Is this because the guy was a Democrat or what?
I don't know. It was just something. I was hoping the counselor had seen it. I don't know. The first witness in a lawsuit was between two neighbors was a real ass. Buddy the donkey walked to the bench and stared at the jury. The picture of a gentle, well-mannered creature, not the loud, aggressive animal that he'd been accused of being, apparently.
And then he took a large dump on the
Anyway, they settled their disputes. One guy was going to buy some of their person's land, and the other guy was going to...
I've never seen donkey testify. I've seen dogs testify.
Yeah.
Dogs
you see that? He looked at you.
They're tough to cross-examine.
What was that old Disney movie with the donkey that kicked the ball or whatever, right? You don't remember that one?
Yeah, he played soccer.
Played football.
Football, yeah.
And he was the kicker.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they had the same thing on some of the Bud Light
commercials. Air Bud, or whatever, yeah.
Oh, Air Bud was some basketball or something. No dog.
I don't know.
Did you see that lawyer that jumped from the Empire State Building?
Oh, good deal. What's even better than that is when 10 of them do it. So, okay, what was...
Always a caring person.
It was interesting, though, because I did know somebody that was...
Well, how'd he climb over the fence?
Yeah, that's a high fence, isn't it?
The high fence.
No, it was the 69th floor.
Oh,
he jumped out of the window.
Yeah.
But he
whacked into the setback on the 30th floor.
He what?
He whacked into the setback. Well, basically,
that hurts a little.
No, I mean, the police responded to the call in New York landmark is about 3 p.m.
Put some ice on that, man.
Yeah, shake it off. Shake it off, man.
911, a caller reported seeing a severed leg covered in a gray sock on the street below.
Oh.
The rest of the body was recovered from a setback on the 30th floor. So, yeah. More than 30 people have committed suicide at the Empire State Building since it opened in 1931.
Statistically, that is not a large
not
number.
Not a lot of number.
I mean, I'd like to find out how that compares to the Golden Gate Bridge or something.
I don't know.
Just the ones they know.
Well, no, and I would imagine so if you find bridge, you might not know him.
So did anybody try to sue for the leg hitting them or anything like that? Or?
No, but it was. I did get an email that somebody did know somebody that walked outside. One of my friends knew somebody.
Saw the leg.
It was actually the receptionist who came outside, and she said people were kicking the head around trying to figure out if it was real or not.
The head?
The head.
I thought his body was up on the thing, his leg.
And, you know, stuff went everywhere. You know, I mean, fall 30 floors, you know. I mean, whack, you know, who knows? Could have been it.
People were kicking the head around.
I mean, I only had...
Let's Snopes that one.
No, it was... I got an email the day that it happened from my friend who said the first secretary came downstairs and freaked out and went running upstairs because, you know...
I'm not down there playing right soccer down with it or anything. They're probably like, you know...
They're probably just touching...
Reminds me of one of those Far Side jokes where they show the Inca Indians or whatever standing around getting ready to play basketball and that one of them has a round head. And they said... they lost their ball, but they were or something along. You knew who was going to be.
I loved it. Was that where there that one guy who was he was like Vietnamese or Korean or something, and he goes, "Yeah, I loved playing Cowboys and Indians when I was a kid. It's like, let's see, it's going to be the whole neighborhood against you."
Yeah.
So
Jimmy, I have to mention
he was an Asian guy.
One of your garage sale finds has bitten the dust. We officially lost this lava lamp over here on the.
No. I think the plug just came out or something.
It did?
It was shaking when you were beating your hand on the desk.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. You know, well, you guys didn't do a good job of setting it all up.
So I might have broke it.
Okay.
So.
Well, you're going to have to go out and find one then. Cause
all right. I bet the light just burned
$2
out.
Poorly spent.
That was.
Oh, man.
You haven't found anything good at garage sales recently, huh?
No. You got a good couple good things.
I struck gold this last weekend.
What'd you get?
Huh? Thanks a lot. No, I found a cache of HP calculators.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They're not more. Stolen HP calculators.
No, I beg your pardon, just because they have little labels on them that say University of Florida.
Burning my fingers.
Burning my fingers in Detroit.
Just because you didn't steal them doesn't mean they ain't stolen.
I'm sure that the statute of limitations has long expired on
these. Let's take them over to the university and see if that's the case.
That's fine. I'm sure.
Nobody's still alive.
Listen,
that would have been in contact with the thing.
Well, you also got a camera, $5 camera.
I got a $5.
Which we used, in fact, over the weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
Took some pictures.
You guys went to some benefit or something? What'd you do?
That's right. It was actually a Republican fundraiser. Because we're always doing research here at the Jimmy Doan Show.
That's right.
And, you know, just...
Semi-local thing in that we had some statewide people come by. But this was the big deal. It was a combination Abraham Lincoln / Martin Luther King deal.
That's right.
And we had you know, the outreach program to non-whites or whatever you want to call it. And
they African-Americans.
Okay.
And it was King Lincoln Day.
King Lincoln Day.
Right, it was King Lincoln Day. And
Martin Luther King was a Republican.
Well, so there seems to be some
debate over it?
Somebody said they didn't know. They were talking about all the reasons why black people essentially, you know, because they're not, as you well know, historically the black vote has gone Democratic, and the idea is if Republicans could snag, you know, 10% of it or something, it would really change the demographics of the voting. But and this is part of their deal. This is a big outreach thing. One of the things they had a list of like 10 reasons why you should be a Republican. And this, and I like the last one was, you know, famous people that have done it. One of them was that Dwight D. Eisenhower appointed Earl Warren.
James Earl Jones.
Earl Warren to the
Supreme Court. I have your Supreme Court justice.
That's right. Earl Warren to the Supreme Court, who was responsible for bringing Brown versus Board of Education to Topeka, which outlawed separate but equal Plessy stuff. Separate but equal made integration, outlawed segregation.
Right.
Interestingly enough, that was one of their big deals on this list. When I happen to know that when asked later in life after he had left the office of presidency, when they asked Dwight what his biggest mistake was, he said, I made two of them, and they're both sitting on the Supreme Court. So he considered that Earl Warren was one of his biggest mistakes. And
I thought it was quite informing. I enjoyed it, I guess.
Oh, you mean, well, yeah, I snuck out early, so I didn't.
Bye-bye.
No, I ate food and split.
No, well, we saw Bill McCollum talk. I mean, we've talked about him before on the show.
Yeah, Bill, right.
Attorney General here.
He's been all over the food chain, hasn't he?
He was pushing it. He's
been a representative, and now he's Attorney General. He's going to be has run for governor.
Oh, my God. He's Attorney General now?
Yep.
Well, I wasn't paying attention.
He's going to be leading the Rudy Giuliani
parade
right here, here in Florida.
So. I got a light note here.
Okay.
One of our listeners wrote in with an interesting scenario. We were talking about pornography, and we're talking about...
Imagine that.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe. And we were talking about the idea that there are exceptions to... well, what he said was this. He said, what if, instead of going out and just picking up hooker, you brought a video camera with you, and you videotaped it, and then when they tried to bust you, you said it was your movie.
Oh, it's artistic expression.
It's artistic expression, right. I just wrote and directed the star to my own movie. And I'm not paying her for being my hooker. I'm paying her for starring in the role.
And you know what they say? They say, watch your head as you're getting
it. Don't bump your head.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say something. Honestly, really, this might work.
Sounds like he's tried it before. Is that what we're saying?
No. Don't get him in trouble now. His wife is looking over his shoulder. But...
She's listening to the other iPod.
But it could work. Your only problem is you got to convince them that it's for serious art.
I mean,
you got to wear the hat.
You got to have the scarf. You got to have the megaphone. Action.
Like Jethro Clampett when he wanted to be a movie director.
Right, yeah. No, what you do is you get in your you get in your Tundra and you have a boom mic and a camera and you have two or three people riding in the bed of the Tundra,
right.
You know, and your
truck, right.
and you basically pull up to some girl walking down the street and say, "Would you like to star in a movie?"
Yeah.
Yeah, and there you go.
Like, starring you work. And me.
Hey, I think it was Mike. I hope I got your name right. Mike, give it a try. Let us know.
Try, Mike.
Send us the video, and we'll tell you.
Counselor, make sure you send him one of your get-out-of-jail-free cards. I've got them right here. Get out of jail.
Okay.
For a small donation.
I'll pitch in $25 towards bail.
Dang, Jack Rhodes is rich.
Pitching in.
I'll tell you, it's good. Why don't you do a little PayPal donation there as long as you know, why? I'm sorry. I love this. This is one of those things that you remind me of the lawyer who paid back his debt to his, you know, his friend who'd loaned him $10,000. When the friend died, he threw the check for $10,000 into the casket that I paid back. So this is what you're doing. Hell yeah, I paid the guy. You know, gave me my personal check for $10,000.
You got any more light notes over there?
I just got one little science thing. Water found in extrasolar planet's atmosphere.
I saw that. It's life begins
Locate, well, not life, but I mean, I don't think.
Could
but
be.
Located about 150 light years from Earth.
Let's go.
Planet HD209458b.
Stargate. Now, what do they call those things? The chevrons. Do we have seven?
That's right, there we go.
No, I wanted to hear the chevrons closing on the Stargate.
Oh, yeah, I don't have that.
Oh, God, what good are you? And you call yourself an engineer? Okay, that's it.
Yeah, I'm an engineer, not a sound junkie, groupie, getter, go-getter person.
Oh.
You got to do that. I got...
Yeah!
That's the original series. I got a couple more. But anyway, anyway, this kind of interesting. I mean, it's not like there's... I mean, they didn't detect SeaWorld with, you know, extraterrestrial...
the Hubble has picked
anything.
Out a right. dolphin-like thing jumping in.
Right. That's right. Observing the planet, they saw these creatures dancing and going right. through hoops. Now, it was basically this thing was discovered. This was one of the first planets ever discovered outside of our solar system. It was in 1999. It was it's separated by its star from only about 4 million miles, which is
toasty.
That's toasty. It's 100 times closer than Jupiter is to our sun. It's Jupiter size, basically.
It sounds like it's. You think if it was that close, it would damn near be a binary star. That you know, Jupiter.
Well, they said it almost was.
Yeah. Well, it's so hot. The scientists think it's losing about 10,000 tons of material every second as vented gas. But
how long? You know, what does that mean? You know, that doesn't mean anything. Does that last a billion years or 50 years?
It's a billion. Yeah, it's a long. Let's see. I was just trying to see.
I mean, is that just like not even a decimal point worth?
It's a mere flatulence.
I see. A small flatulence.
Little.
It transits every 3.5 days.
That is hauling ass.
Yeah.
It's 4 million miles from it. Do the math. Do the radio math on that. I got news.
Well, 4 million miles is not. We're 93 million miles.
No, I understand
away,
that. But I'm saying if it goes around in 3 days and it goes 3.1,
hold on, baby.
It's, you know, pi D or whatever the hell it is. Mm-hmm. That's 3. 3 times 4 is 12 million miles radius, 12, almost say 13 million miles. It travels 13 million miles in 3 days.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. That's not that fast, is it?
That's pretty fast.
You do the math. Is that
The closer you get, the faster you go.
I know that. Thank you so much for that little tidbit. What I'm saying is I'm wondering what that is in my second or furlongs per hour or whatever.
It's warp
space. It's warp eight. Come on. I'm guessing
there it goes.
It's one-tenth impulse power.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's my guess.
I'm giving her all she's got. I can't give her any more.
All right, well,
I'm done.
We're done. Well, our listeners were done about
15 minutes ago.
Thanks for hanging on.
No, this is good. This is good. I'm glad we got we managed to get this.
My pleasure.
In a week.
I didn't get to defend Nyfong this week.
No. We already talked about that.
Well, he was shoved off the page by Cho.
He's guilty. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for listening.
Give us
a shout.
Donation.
Send money. That's right. We have a new donation figure up there, don't we?
Yep.
Jimmy.
We did get another actual subscriber
thing. That's right. Give that thing. If you go to our website, you can sign up for the...
Yeah, it's called jimmydone.com.
Yeah, no, thing. But you can get the... Shut up. We have these
Podzinger.
What I'm saying is you don't have to listen to the show anymore. No, you have to. What I'm saying is there's a way that you can be handled directly into your mailbox.
I'm saying join the donation.
As soon as it's posted, it comes up and says, whoa, you have another one.
Yes, all you really got to do is enter your social security number in.
Yes, bank account number. That's right.
Yeah.
With a PIN.
We're saying become a donor.
PayPal, username and password.
Listen to us.
That's right.
No, it actually works great. It's really cool. Coming.
We're not asking for much.
No, it's nice.
We'll use those numbers responsibly.
Well, more responsible than
food.
So.
That's right. Thanks anyway, and we'll see you hopefully. Or we'll... We won't. We'll come back and talk some more.
Next
week. You'll hear us.
Yes. Whether you want to or not. Hey, we need to do this without a podcast. We'll do it direct. If you'll raise your hand right now, okay? Okay, we'll do it. No.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is DJ Laura. Thank you for listening to the Jimmy Doan Show. If you want to be notified as fast as possible of future Jimmy Doan shows, please go to jimmydoan.com and enter your email address into the field on the upper right. Reason being, iTunes and other podcast directories sometimes take a couple of days to update. And well, this is a new show, but I'm sure you want to get this as soon as possible. Thanks again for listening, and please write us at jimmy@jimmydoan.com.